Our speaker is Ben Bailey.
You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that we, through His poverty, might be made rich. 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 9. Welcome to our study of 2 Corinthians. In our third lesson in this series, we're now looking at chapters 8 through 10, the overall theme being that of we walk by faith, not by sight. Previously, we've noted that we walk by faith in the promises of God, in the promises of who He is, what He gives to us, and how we can be sure of those. And then in the plan of God, how that He sent His Son in this world to die for us and that we can have salvation through Jesus. But now we look at walking by faith in the purposes of God. Today we're going to look in chapters 8 through 10 at Paul's message to the Corinthians as he discusses their giving and how that relates directly to the giving of God and sending His Son. The Macedonians are here commended for their liberal giving. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 2 through 4, Paul says that these people, out of their deep poverty, out of their trial of affliction, you could see their abundance of joy in giving because they gave out of deep poverty. Paul says, I bear them witness that they gave according to their ability, and yes, beyond their ability, they were freely willing to give. These are people who, when they walked by faith in the purposes of God, realized God purposed them to be good givers in the kingdom, as God has purposed each person to give as he's been prospered. The Macedonians gave out of deep poverty to the cause of God because they realized how important the gospel was and how much of a need there was to take that gospel to a lost and dying world. When we think of giving, we often think of giving in the amount. Say that someone gives X amount of dollars and that's a lot for today, and we think of that as real giving. But some of the best giving in the Bible wasn't based on quantity, but quality of giving. Let me illustrate. Look in Luke chapter 21, and I want you to notice what Jesus says here about one of the best givers in the Bible. Luke 21, the scripture says in verse 2, Jesus saw also a certain poor widow putting in two mites. So he said, truly I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all, for all these out of their abundance have put offerings for God, but she out of her poverty put in all the livelihood that she had. Jesus watched the people how they gave, and people went through the line and you could hear the money flowing in the pot. These probably wealthy people, how they were giving. They wanted to see who was looking and make a noise when they gave, probably. All the money following in, and then here comes this widow and clank, clank, two mites fall in the pot, and Jesus said she gave more than all. Can't you imagine the surprise on the face of the hearers? How did she give more than all? She gave two little mites. Jesus said because they gave out of their abundance. She gave out of her poverty her whole livelihood. Here's a person who is commended as one of the greatest givers because she gave till it hurt. Most people gave out of their abundance. She gave out of her deep poverty. You see, my friends, giving is viewed in line with what God gave us. John 3:16 is a picture of God's giving. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Did God give us the leftovers? Did He give us out of abundance? Or did God give us the best, so much so that it hurt? My friends, God sent His own Son out of the realms of heaven to this earth to live and die and suffer as a man, to be crucified by His own creation. God gave the very best, and indeed it did hurt in the giving of God. And so that's an example of our giving, and the Macedonians are a perfect illustration of what it means to really give. They gave out of their deep affliction and deep poverty. They gave because they realized the need. In Matthew chapter 9, verses 36 following, Jesus looks out on the people and he says to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. You pray the Lord of hosts that he'll send laborers into his vineyard. My friends, there are multiplied millions of people on this earth who are in desperate need to hear the gospel. And as we collect the funds of the saints, as we give, as we've been prospered, that money going to reach the lost, what greater good in the world can you imagine than giving to help the gospel be spread so that souls can be saved? And so Paul admonishes them concerning their giving. Now, friend, we want you to understand today, giving is a command of God. Giving is an action of worship, 1 Corinthians 16:1-2. But we're not here today begging you for your money. We're here because God commands us to give in our worship, to give locally through the congregation. But we're not like those who will get on TV and say, oh, if you'll send us so much money, God will bless you. We say, the Bible says you need to give. You need to give as you've been prospered and as you purpose. But that is to be done through the local congregation, and it is to be done in line with the teaching of God. These people gave generously to God because they first had given themselves to the Lord. Notice 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 5. I want you to notice how it was the case that these people were such good givers to the cause of Christ. Notice verse 5. The Bible says they gave not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God. How is it these people had the mindset to give till it hurt, to give out of deep poverty? What motivated that? My friends, there'll never be a good giver who doesn't first give himself to the Lord. Giving begins not by putting your collection in the plate, but giving begins here individually. There will never be a good giver to the cause of Christ who's not first given himself to the Lord. Luke 9:23, this is what Jesus asked of us. Jesus said, if any man desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Denial of self and take up your cross to follow Jesus. That's true giving. Romans 12, verse 1, Paul said, I beg you by the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice. That is real giving. Every day, awaking and giving myself to the cause of Christ. Paul had this mindset. I've been crucified with Christ, Paul said. Not I who live, Christ who lives in me. Life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It's the love of Christ that compels us to live for Jesus. And in view of that love, I first must give myself to God, and then I'll be ready to give on the first day of the week as we've been commanded as part of our worship to God. Now, the depth of our giving is a proof of how deep our love for God and others really is. Paul says in verse 8 that they could tell the depth of their love by their giving. You know, your giving does say something about you and your love for God. If it hurts to give, and if you give grudgingly, do you know what that says? God's not your first priority, and you've got selfish motives in that. If we can't give cheerfully as God wants us to, 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 and 7, if it is hard to get that money and put it in the plate and we just have to fight ourselves every time, we've got some problems with materialism and worldliness. But if we can freely give to the cause of Christ and to others who are in need, then that says something about how deep our love for God and others really is. In fact, one of the most beautiful passages in the Bible falls right in line with the example of giving. How deep we give is how deep we love. Look in 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 9. I think this is probably one of the most beautiful passages in all the Bible. Notice what Paul here says about God's giving. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be made rich. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that word grace, is a synonym that's used in the context for the gift. You know the grace, the gift of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, what is that gift? Paul goes on to explain. Though he was rich, Jesus was in the very place we're trying to go, heaven. That place where there's no sorrow, no death, no crying. That place where God is. That place where the saints of old are. That place where there's no lack or want. Jesus was rich. But notice, yet for your sakes, he became poor. He left the bountiful realms of heaven, came and lived as a poor man on this earth, had no place to call his own, had no place to lay his head, owned no property that we know of, had no real money. I mean, Jesus gave it all up and went about doing good and preaching the word while he was here. Yet for your sakes, he gave it up that we, through his poverty, look at that word, Jesus lived pretty much a life of poverty while on this earth. Does that mean God didn't take care of him? No, he did. But in view of human standards, it was a time of poverty for him. He didn't have all the things that most people have in this life, that you, through his poverty, might be made rich. Look at the example of God. He left heaven, came to this earth, lived as a pauper. Why did he do all that? So that one day we could be rich. The giving of Jesus was selfless and was for others. Jesus left it all for me. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 21 says, "You, not only do we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, but God made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He gave it up and came and suffered and died for me, and I'm to have the mind of Christ," Philippians 2 verse 5. "The word of God left heaven," John 1 verse 1, "and came and dwelt among men and died for his own creation." If I'm to have that mind, and in the context of giving, Paul says this, my friends, we also ought to be selfless and sacrificial in our giving. That's the idea. I'm selfless because I realize there are more important things than me hoarding up a big bank account, and I'm sacrificial because I want to give, sometimes out of poverty even, so that I can see the spread of the gospel to a lost and dying world. And so walking by faith in the purposes of God realizes that giving is so that we can show our deep love for God and for the lost. We give according to what we have, not what we don't have. 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 12 says, our giving is according to what we have, not what we don't have. God doesn't expect us to give that which we don't have. Now, sometimes we may give more than we're able, but God doesn't expect us, if we only make X amount of dollars, to give three times that. God doesn't expect us to bankrupt ourselves in that, but we give what we have. James 1 verse 17 says this, every good and perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there's no shadow or variation of turning. What do we have? Everything we've been given is a gift from God.